I desire your prayers this morning. I am leaning on the Lord. I would say that this kind of a message, and this may be the beginning of a series, it is something that the Lord has put on my heart back in December, and I feel like that He finally gave us a beginning to it. But I want to say this at the beginning. You may have to draw your mind in. You may have to collect your thoughts. You may have to turn your mind away from tomorrow or even this afternoon. You may have to do some concentration. Have you ever been in a place like that? Well, this is probably going to be one of those times. So I'm going to encourage you to resist the devil, which will try to hinder us from making connections maybe with the word of the Lord. We're going to begin reading in Isaiah 53, and it's not new. We all are familiar with it. I'm going to be reading parts of verses 4 through 7, verses 10 and 12. So it says in verse 4, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The last part of 6, The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, He was oppressed and afflicted. Verse 10, Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. The latter part of verse 12. He hath poured out His soul unto death. And He was numbered with the transgressors. And He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Would you hand me my Bible? I forgot something in my Bible. So having read that passage, those passages, I'm going to tell you a story. I'll be reading part of it. This is a very old story, but it's true. It's a true story. And the story is of a school in Jamaica, where the teacher made a rule that everyone who told a lie in school would receive 7 strokes on the palm with a strap. One day a little girl told a lie, and it was discovered. She was called before the school to receive her punishment. She was a tender and sensitive child. And the teacher was very sorry to administer the strokes upon her palm. Yet he felt he must carry out the rule. With the first lash, the little girl cried out with pain. Her cry went to the teacher's heart. He could not go on with the punishment. Yet he could not disregard her sin. So this is what he did. He looked over the boys in the school and he asked, Is there any boy who will bear the rest of her punishment? As soon as the words were spoken, A young lad quickly arose and said, "Please, sir, I will." The young boy went to the desk and received without a cry the 6 remaining strokes. The schoolmaster, with tears in his own eyes that day, closed his books and gathered all of his students around about him, told them of the gentle one who long ago bore the punishment for us all. And the story he told them is our story today. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? When somebody stepped up and bore the stripes, the lashes for someone else. It's not real often that you and I meditate or concentrate on the price that was paid for us. We may do it when we have an ordinance service. We do it. It's a time that we remember what Jesus did for each one of us that we might have salvation. And we do it at Easter. We may speak of the sufferings of Jesus. It's brought to the forefront of our minds at that time. That's good. It's good for us to remember and even reaccount the consecration. I'm going to call it the consecration of Gethsemane. We can become almost numb to the thoughts that Jesus suffered for us and died for us. It can just become surface words. Have you found that to be true? We have to make ourselves some way. And then I'm not sure we get the total picture, but we try. We try to consider the trial, the arrest, the trial, an unfair trial. We try to imagine being accused falsely, being totally innocent and pure and righteous, and being the Son of God that has all power, and yet He bore it. He took it. And the scripture says He answered not a word. Would you have been able to have done that? Most of the time when we are falsely accused, what is our first reaction? No, that's not how it happened. This is how it happened. And we try to defend ourselves. But Jesus did not defend himself. How many of us would like to be spit upon? I wouldn't. Or ridiculed or mocked. And oftentimes we turn in those passages and we read it quickly. And we don't stop and really think about what it's saying and what it means and what it really meant to the one that gave his life for us. Crown of thorns. Oh, we probably haven't even an earthly idea even what that would feel like. We can imagine, and we may read about the kind of thorns it was. They weren't just little rose bush thorns. They were probably the size that you and I have never really seen. And they wove that thing into a crown and they placed it on his head. Did they do it gently? They did not. These were those that hated Jesus Christ and wanted him dead. But they pressed it in upon his skull. And any injury to the skull will bleed more than normal injuries of the body. And blood ran down. And it was painful. Those are words. But do we believe it? He also bore a scourging. And I have said it here before. The Lord revealed this to me a year ago or more. Opened up my mind to a vision that I never saw before. When we read the scripture about the stripes that Jesus suffered, and maybe we have taken stripes ourselves for a punishment, and maybe it just left some bruising on us. It wasn't that way. It was a scourging that literally ripped his skin. I can describe all of this, but unless we get it from the Lord, it's just not going to affect us. It's just going to be another story. We need the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. I'm not the orator that some people could be. I don't have the words to be able to open up your mind, but I know that the Holy Spirit can. And maybe the Holy Spirit this morning needs to open up our minds to what he did for us. There was much blood. He was giving his life's blood even then. And he resisted them not. He did it for you. And he did it for me. We may speak of people do this. They call the cross, they said, the cruel cross. Well, the cross was cruel at the hand of man. And we may try to imagine what it was like to literally have the spikes driven through his hands and his feet. We may try to imagine how he must have felt when he felt that even his Father had forsaken him. You and I have at times felt alone, but I don't think we have ever tasted the exact feeling that Jesus had truly alone. There are some that try to think that the consecration that he made in the garden, when he was praying and saying, not my will, but thine be done, please take this cup from me. And the scripture describes him as being in such a state that there was sweat that was coming down, and it was described as drops of blood. He felt something then. And there are some that try to say, well, he was dreading he knew what was waiting for him. He was maybe dreading the spikes in his hands and in his feet, and he was dreading all of the ridicule and all. But another commentator said that the greatest apprehension that they could think of was that he was literally going to bear the weight of the sins of the whole world. And we can't comprehend that. But that's why he did it. That those who are lost can be redeemed and saved, and therefore all of this that was physical he knew would pass away, but he knew he could not fail in that one point, or mankind would not have a Savior. And so I have a tendency to think those thoughts this morning, that it was probably that which caused him to be in such a passion. And then, of the moment that he expired, it was prophesied that there would not be any bones broken in his body, and there weren't. For the soldiers came, and as you know, and were going to break his legs, the same as they did the others that were beside him, to hasten the death, but he was already expired. I would say in their vengeance, that's when they took that spear and said, okay. But he never felt it. The spear that went into his side, and the word of the Lord says it opened up a fountain of blood and water. And by faith today, we are still believing there is a fountain that is opened for you and me to this day. It reaches us today. And that's what the Lord inspired me with concerning his stripes. That there was a fountain of blood that was opened for you and me. And he bore it for us. And it comes down to us today by faith. I'm thinking of a song and a scripture that says, the song is written concerning the scripture, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free. He could have done it. But he died alone for you and for me. I would like so much for this little message today to become very personal. That we would leave here and be more grateful for what he has done for us. What he did for us. He paid the ultimate price. So, I have to think about, I don't have a songbook up here, but a song that we have become even more familiar with over the years, because it happens to be someone's favorite song. He was crucified for me. Most of the time when we sing that song, I have a feeling that we're thinking of the one that favors that song rather than the words of it. I would like to encourage us from this day forward to turn our minds away from whoever might call a song. And let's look at what it really says. Because it's personal. And you have to put your own person into that song. He was crucified for me, 2:12. And I'd have time this morning to read a lot of verses of it. But you know the first verse is so precious. Prince of glory, condescend. He has favored me. Do you ever feel like raising your hand in song when those words are being spoken. This is my song. On the cross, he meekly suffered my poor soul to free. He has cleansed my inner being, changed my life of wrong. How his touch of healing virtue fills my heart with song. He was crucified for me. Personal. And then there is a song that we have named out before. It's been a song that has left an impression on me from time to time, but it came back to me and I looked it up and got some of the words of the lyrics, and it's a, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You believe that? Well, here's what some of the words in the song. I'm not going to give all the words. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. What was he looking ahead in time? To you and to me. You and I may think, oh, he doesn't have that power or ability. He did. He was doing it for the whole world, but he did it for you. And he did it for me. So he looked ahead in time and he saw who was going to be born. He knows those things. He knew those things. God has that power. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And part of the chorus says, he knew me, yet he loved me. Another phrase in that song says, so unworthy of such mercy. Do you feel unworthy this morning? Do you feel that he did it for you and you didn't deserve it? None of us deserved salvation. We didn't deserve his mercy. We didn't deserve his love. We have no merits. The scripture even tells us that you and I don't have any merit to hold before him except our soul. And he is the lover of your soul personally. He knows your life. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. He knows everything in between. He knows your troubles and your sorrows and your griefs, and he knows it all. Thank the Lord that he knows. So we go back to the scripture now, and it says, He bore it. He bore your grief. Now I want to talk a little bit about this word grief, for its synonym is sorrow. All of us know this. And if you're here of any age at all today, at some point in your life, you have tasted of some kind of sorrow and grief. I don't care who we are, a young child can experience sorrow and grief that matches their age. But we have all known something about it. It came from a Latin word that means to make heavy. Grief came from a Latin word that meant deep sorrows. You know, the scripture says, I believe over in Job, man is born of a woman and but a few days and is full of trouble. Trouble is associated with life. None of us here or anywhere is going to escape trouble. None of us are going to escape grief. None of us is going to escape sorrow. It's part of our humanity. It's part of life. But he bore it. He took on grief. He took on sorrow. The scripture says he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. All of his life on earth, he was counted an illegitimate child. He was ridiculed and made fun of, and no telling how many, what names he was called by other children, whose parents may have said, may have described his birth. So from a child he knew sorrow and grief. He understood it. Did you know he understands us today? Because he went through all that he went through, all that he bore, he did it for you. Because when you go through the grief, when you go through the sorrow, you will be able to take it to him. You will be able to lay it at his feet and know that he knows. And we have a song, don't we? Just to know that he knows. That my Lord understands, that his look of compassion, he's looking down, and he did it for you so he might understand you, that he might understand me. There is another angle to that passage. Because when you study it out, you will find that sorrow and grief in the Hebrew implied bodily pain and sickness. So we can go at it from that angle too. When we suffer in our body, did he suffer in his body? Somebody said, well, they wondered, did Jesus not ever have the sicknesses and the afflictions? He never caught the flu, or he never caught the, we don't know. But we know he knows, and he understands when you and I are sick, when we are afflicted in our bodies, when we have pain in our bodies, because that's what the scripture meant in Hebrew. And there was a reference to it over to Matthew, the 8th chapter. And we're just going to turn over there and read that one verse to go along with this thought. In the 8th chapter, in verses 16 and 17, it said, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that he might be, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He did it in his own body. And so if we have that faith and that vision that he's bearing it in his own body, do we take it to him and say, Lord, bear this in your own body? You can do that because it's part of the prophecy. So not only does he understand when you and I are weeping over the loss of a loved one or a great disappointment or a great hurt, or any of those kind of things, when it comes to pain and suffering in my body and the afflictions and all of those things, He's bearing it also. And he's saying, I do understand. I know. Does it comfort you to know this? Does it help you to know that anything that happens to you in your life, in your body, that he's taking note of it? I think it's a comfort. So we're going to look at verse 5 now of our original passage. And it says, he was wounded. And why was he wounded? Because you and I transgressed. We moved away from his laws. We weren't obedient. And he received wounds in his body because you and I did those things. And so, it also says, one reference in the center of my Bible, it says, he was pierced through because of your transgressions, because of my transgressions. So where were his wounds? Where would you think that he was wounded? Certainly he was wounded on his head. He was wounded in his hands, his feet, his side. But remember his back, where he bore the scourging. It was a wound. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. That we might be free of our transgressions. When there are people today that are saying, I am a sinning Christian, what are they saying? They're denying his wounds for their own transgressions. He did this that you and I can live above it and free from it. He has borne these things for you and me. The scripture then also says he was bruised for our iniquities. So wounding and bruising sort of went together. And verse 10 even says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. There was something that touched God the Father when he saw his Son, God the Son, suffer and bear the wounds and bear the bruising. And he said, now it's worthy for the people to overcome. It pleased the Father to bruise him. I read this somewhere and I copied it down, and it's a poem that I think fits right here. Before you, he trod all the path of woe. He took the sharp thrust with his head bent low. He knew deepest sorrow and pain and grief. He knew long endurance without relief. He took all the bitter from the depths, from death's deep cup. He kept not a blood drop, but gave all up. Before you and for you, he won the fight to bring you to glory and to realms of light. He did it so that you could have eternal life, that I could have eternal life. We have songwriters, many songs are written in our book that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. One is entitled, He Was Wounded for Me. Uh, The second verse of that song, it has just a little phrase there. Oh, my soul, stand in awe. See what anguish he has borne. Oh, if we could only grasp the vision a little bit and stand in awe of what he bore for you and me personally, it should not be in vain. Let us not handle it lightly. Let us not take it lightly. Let us not discount it in the least. May we be affected by what he has done for us personally. The next verse, in the seventh verse, it says he bore oppression and a sore affliction. And you and I might think, well, he was God in the flesh. He didn't have to be oppressed. That's for people that are weak, isn't it? When people say, oh, I feel so oppressed, do we sometimes look at that and say, well, that's a weakness? It could be. But he bore a weakness of being oppressed, even in his mind and in his body, and he was afflicted. The scripture itself says he was oppressed. I've got to believe he understands when I am oppressed. If I am depressed, oppression is really very close to depression. Oppression and depression are very close. So if that happens in my life, who do I turn to? I turn to the one that can understand, the one that has experienced it, the one that knows how to deliver me. Thank the Lord, but he was oppressed and he was afflicted. I'll give you some definitions for oppression. Prolonged cruel treatment, mental pressures and distress. I think we all know what oppression is. There is an oppressor of the world. Satan wants to oppress you and me. He wants to oppress our minds. He wants to oppress our spirits. He wants to oppress our very souls. Jesus knows. I do love that song. I want to give some 180 of Jesus Knows. I'm afraid it's another song that we sort of sing by habit, and we're not really absorbing what the words mean. When my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life and the thought of the morrow alarms, when my care-laden heart, then I flee from the strife and I weep. We are going to weep. Jesus wept. Jesus shed tears. And there's going to be many times that you and I will also weep. But let us weep them out in his arms. I remember Sister Velda and the trials and the tests that she passed through. And I haven't tasted those. Her companion to leave her with a number of children. I won't go into the details of all she passed through, but she had many times of weeping. And Sister Souter said this to her, and it stands true today. Velda, don't weep just to be weeping. You weep unto the Lord. And I'm going to say that that was wise counsel. When we're in a hard place and the tears are flowing and we're hurting and I'm going to say at times feeling sorry for ourselves, turn your mind to the one that understands. And the chorus of this says, just to know that he knows, that my Lord understands, and his look of compassion to see soothes the pain in my heart, is a balm for my wounds, bringing comfort and peace unto me. A wonderful song. A song that is of comfort. So, I'm going to close with a scripture in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And we don't feel like that we're finished with this passage at all, but we feel like that it will have to be for another time. Hebrews 4 and 15. And it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It doesn't matter what we pass through, he knows and he understands and he has feelings. He will help. You can go to him and say, Lord, bear this in your own body, and he will do it. He's promised that he will not give you and me more than we're able to bear, but he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. That's his promise. But in that promise is simply the fact he bore it for you and for me. Thank the Lord. Another phrase of a song that came to me this morning is, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Amen. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Give him your life. Give him all that we might hold back. Give it. Oh, he wants to prove himself that he does know and he does understand. Thank the Lord. I trust that the Lord will use these little thoughts to minister to us. I think we're going to need it. I think that God has done more for you and me than what we deserve. Amen. And yet he wants to do more. And he has so much for us. I don't want to live below the privilege, do you? What he has for us. May the Lord help us all today. Just, if you didn't feel like that you could grasp some of this, I would encourage you to, in your devotions, look to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, impress it upon my mind what you really gave for me. Thank the Lord.